don't think I could start my first one lane in a bigger game. You know, I'm excited. I don't really know what to expect coming out of the tunnel. Well, I did come out of the tunnel for a William & Mary, but that was a day game, not a primetime 8 o'clock start against number 6 team in the country. But, you know, I'm just excited to see how Hook Nation shows up and ready to get the game going.
Ryan Willis making his home debut as Hokie starter this Saturday night. The guy will call the action. John Lazor, join us in just a second. Virginia Tech Notre Dame can be heard. Coverage beginning at 6:30 on Fox Sports 910. Wes McElroy, Danny, would you update the poll question, please, as we look back on last night and look ahead to the other wild card game? The Seton Hall survey said 47% of Americans like a multi-series wild card matchup. I like the one-game wild card winner take all. Current results, should it be one game, three games, or five games for the wild card round?
63% of our voters say they like it the way it is. Keep it at one game, man.
All right. Let's bring in John Lazor, the voice of the Hokies, joining us on the Hadid Mercer Road Cleaning Hotline, brought to you by Cowan Gates, 11 attorneys on staff. As a Cubby fan this morning, do you wish they'd play three or do you like just one?
Yeah, it has nothing to do with being a Cubs fan. 63% of your audience is wrong. It should be three games, Wes, and it's nothing to do with the fact that the Cubs lost yesterday. It's just the fact that when you play 162 games, and I know that's easy to say 162, it's not easy to mentally go through what those teams go through, and to have that level of success and have it be gone in the blink of one bad pitch, I just don't think equates. Three games, honestly, doesn't even determine who the better team is in my mind, but it's at least a better indicator.
As someone who knows baseball, though, would you not find it unfair that you would have the teams that won the division sitting around for an entire week? Because you would have to factor in travel days, maybe an off day in between the three-game series. I just think it'd be a disadvantage, and I also think there's got to be some incentive to winning your division.
Yeah, I think the incentive is that you do get to sit around for that time, and you do get to recover, and you get to slot your pitching staff. No, I don't think that it's a disadvantage to them at all.
John Lazor's vote is cast. You can put yours up at foxsportsrichmond.com. We will disagree more coming up in our lightning round. Lays joining us from Cowan Gates, brought to you by Cowan Gates from Blacksburg. We're Saturday night. Let's go back to last Saturday night real quick. Bigger story to you. I asked this on Monday. Bigger story. Ryan Willis taking the reins or the defense bouncing back against Duke?
Oh, it was the defense bouncing back without question. You know, as we talked about going into that game, Wes, everything we'd seen from Ryan Willis behind the scenes and in his limited game action lent us to the fact that we figured he was going to play well because he's an exceptionally talented kid. I didn't think he necessarily might be that flawless in terms of his stat line and earn ACC quarterback of the week, but I did think he would have success throwing the football around. The defense was what I wanted to see. I wanted to see how they were going to react, not just schematically, but just from an individual standpoint in terms of who was going to answer that challenge and answer that bell. And they certainly did. I was particularly impressed, obviously, with Rayshard Ashby, but also some other guys whose names we don't call as much. Jovan Quillen really stood out to me. Divine Diablo coming back made a big difference. But then that defensive line, I thought for the first time, was able to really get penetration through the middle. And that credit, of course, goes to Ricky Walker and Jared Hewitt, who up to that point, I didn't think it had the impact we expected them to coming into the season. So for me, it's the defense because that's the long view going forward. They had to give you something else than they did at Old Dominion. Otherwise, your season was in trouble.
Lays, you know more about this team, the makeup of this team. You know some of the guys much better than I do. But I said the one thing that's got to be stressed, the one thing you just can't take for granted, and there's still going to be bumps in the road. There's still going to be growing pains. But it's just not easy for young people to bounce back. And sometimes things can go in an opposite direction. We see this with programs all the time that, you know, just the bounce back at Duke, that wasn't a given that that was going to happen. That had, you know, that's accountability, that's leadership, and that's a little bit of, look in the mirror after you got humiliated against Old Dominion.
Yeah, no, for sure. And sometimes I think we confuse their ability to bounce back with potentially the ability ceiling as a whole. You know, again, I thought some of the troubles against Old Dominion were physical. It wasn't a lack of coverage or anything like that. It was just the fact that these are freshmen that weren't as physically mature at times. So my question coming out was, where are you going to cover those spots and how are you going to do it going forward? And then we saw the Hokies come out and play physically. To your point, yeah, mentally, you know, reactions are different for guys. I didn't think it would be a problem with Rayshard Ashby, just knowing who he is and knowing how seriously he takes this. Some of the other guys that I don't know as well as Rayshard, yes, it's kind of a question mark. So collectively, to see the way that they responded, to see how seriously they took it, to see how much it meant to them, was obviously encouraging.
One thing that stood out to me, I'd love to get your thoughts on this, is the wide receivers collectively maturing. And you've seen Damon Hazelton this year. He showed it. But for all the years of talking about Ford and Hodges and Cam, I thought Willis did a very good job of keeping the ball in a safe space. But I also thought his receivers said, okay, you know, get it in my general direction and I'll make a play. And I thought that was a significant sign of growth.
Yeah, I thought so too. We didn't see it last year, quite frankly, when most of these guys were freshmen or sophomores at the most. And that wasn't really Cam's skill set. You know, just the way that he was built physically wasn't necessarily to go up and win those one-on-one matchups or 50-50 balls on the outside. He could certainly beat you one-on-one and did more often than not. And I found that particularly interesting. And what Coach Fuente said to me on Monday night was basically that wasn't what we were good at a year ago. That game reminded me of Pittsburgh on the road a couple of years ago when Gerard Evans was essentially just dropping three, chucking it up on a fade to either side, and Bucky or Isaiah would go get it. And it just gave Pittsburgh fits. They never switched out of their press man coverage, and Duke never did either. And it was really refreshing to see, one, a guy in Ryan Willis comfortable enough to do that, to just throw up those balls, Brad Cornelison, to make those calls, and those guys to come down with it. Are you going to win those every time? No, but if you can do it more often than not, then obviously it gives you a more explosive dynamic to your offense.
He's John Lazor, brought to you by Cowan Gates, the voice of the Hokies. Let's move ahead to this Saturday night. It'll be Notre Dame, number 6 in the country, taking on Virginia Tech, number 24 in the country. After watching some film, after watching the past 2 weeks, more scary, Notre Dame's offense or Notre Dame's defense?
Well, I think it's the offense right now, just because just of what I just mentioned, the explosive capability in a number of areas. And I know they've suffered a loss on their offensive line and Alex Bars, and that's substantial in terms of their protection of Ian Book and also the running game. But it's kind of a big man factory up there. They grow them big up where I'm from, West, which isn't Indiana, but it's the same vibe. You know, you just plug in the next guy, and I think they'll hum along pretty well. So I'm worried about that matchup physically, particularly on the offensive line against the Tech defensive line, getting pressure on Book, but also containing the running game. They were able to do it physically against Duke, but this is a whole different level of challenge. And I think they're also on to something with Dexter Williams coming off that suspension and running the rock the way that he did against Stanford. I don't think they have necessarily, I know Boykin, I don't know that they have the most dazzling perimeter weapons, but they certainly do have a multitude of them, and they'll spread the football around. So it's not your daddy's Notre Dame, as it were. So I think that side of the ball worries me, but that's not to say the defensive side of the ball doesn't worry me too. I mean, you look at Jerry Tillery and Coney and some of these guys that have been doing it well for a number of years, and you get the sense that this is a team that was grown for this year. You know, you look senior, graduate, senior, 42 starts, all of those things. This is a mature team that I think will be capable of handling the environment at Lane Stadium. Doesn't mean they'll thrive in that environment, but I don't think it's one of those teams that's going to come in and while Enter Sandman's playing, they're going to be cowering over in the opposite corner. So, yeah, I think this is a very complete football team in Notre Dame, and it's definitely going to be a huge challenge for Virginia Tech. I think, like everybody else, I'm hoping that this is going to be a great matchup. I think, actually, on paper, it does pretty much look like a good matchup.
Until you watch Ian Book, and you watch him the first week against Wake Forest, and you see him run for 3 touchdowns, and there's sometimes that, hey, he's a running quarterback. I think he's more scary with his feet by what he can do by just moving around and keeping the pocket alive and then chucking the ball. I think that's where he's more dangerous with his feet.
Yeah, I completely agree. And that sometimes is dangerous because we've seen that happen at times before where you can subtly keep a play alive. And it's not that you're getting out of the backfield and picking up yards. He can do that, obviously, kind of like a Ryan Willis. But, yeah, it's the shuffling to the side. It's the avoiding the initial surge of pressure and forcing the second two levels of the defense to cover for a long time. And that, I think, is a second-level skill that a lot of college quarterbacks don't possess. So it has been impressive to see Book do that, particularly in his first couple of starts this year. And that's going to be something that obviously Bud Foster is accounting for. I'm not sure what the scheme change will be for this year, but definitely I think that's something that is going to be a focal point for this Tech defense.
All right, we'll come back with John Lazor. We'll talk more about Virginia Tech and Notre Dame Saturday night coverage beginning at 6:30. We'll also get into, can you reschedule a 12th game? The story in the news yesterday about East Carolina and Laser's lightning round. John Laser, Wes McElroy, brought to you by Cowan Gates, 11 attorneys on staff, and there for you in any case. The voice of the Hokies with us each and every Wednesday. And Lays, if I understand this right, you will be part of the festivities to honor Coach Beamer on Saturday before the game?
I will, yeah. I get the honor of emceeing that ceremony, which is going to be awesome. Amazing for me to be a part of it, obviously. Not that that's the focal point whatsoever. But, yeah, that's going to be really, really cool. And plus, with the environment we're inspecting and where that's being held over in Moody Plaza, right there outside the stadium, I would imagine there'll be thousands gathered. So it should be a pretty cool start to the day, obviously, but a much bigger picture thing than that, too.
So we were kicking this around yesterday, and I know you can't let any cats out of the bag. We understand it's a monument. We saw the word likeness. But Danny and I got to talking. If there is a statue to Coach Beamer, what image it should be? And is there an iconic image of Frank Beamer that stands in your mind? Like, if someone said, hey, we need to make a statue of Frank Beamer, it should be this. Is there a mental image that pops right into your memory?
Well, I think Bud Foster said it best yesterday. It should be a picture with Bud kind of kneeling down to the side and Lynn on the other side. The iconic images that get tossed around on Twitter of the post-game locker room dances and all of that. I'm sure that they've found the best way to do this, but I'm not sure how you put together what he was as a football coach, but what he is to this community. Yeah, I don't think it should just be an arm raised in triumph type of deal, if that's what it's going to be or whatever. I hope they found a way to combine those two attributes, and I'm pretty confident they have.
That'll take place 4:15 or 4:45?
4:45,
and it'll be outside of Lane Stadium. If you are going to the game on Saturday, make sure you're there early to honor Coach. He's John Laser. He'll be on the call. The pregame starts with Andrew Allegretta, myself, Brandon Flowers, Eddie Royal, Mike Burnup, the whole crew, 6:30. You can catch it right here on Fox Sports 910. Let's get to a little John Laser's lightning round. Mr. Laser, let me go first. Since they're playing Notre Dame, Rudy, did you really like the movie, or do you just say that you liked it because everybody else does?
I really like parts of the movie, particularly Rock's speech. You're 5 foot nothing, 100 nothing, and you hung in, all of that stuff. I really disliked the part where it was dreary weather all the time, and he was from the small town and all those things. They were just way too similar to me to where I grew up, even though it wasn't where Rudy grew up. So I didn't like that part, but once he got to Notre Dame, then yes, I really did like it. I don't like it maybe as much as sometimes I pretend to now. Wes, the Chicago Cubs had the finest record in the National League as of 48 hours ago and are going home. I think that's bad for baseball. Your thoughts?
I can't disagree with you. You know, in the essence of fairness and the way it all plays out, it is what it is. But yeah, it's... You and I both know Red Sox, Yankees, Cubs, Dodgers, they're more of a national draw, and baseball's kind of have to be sitting there hoping the Yankees win tonight, because that's at the end of the World Series, the last thing they want to see is a Cleveland Indian Milwaukee Brewers World Series. So yes, not good for baseball, but a great game last night. Lays, when I was in Catholic school, our colors matched that of Notre Dame. So I adopted Notre Dame. I jumped on the bandwagon when they won the national championship in 88-89. What team was a childhood fad for you?
Miami Hurricanes, actually. I really enjoyed the Bad Boy Hurricanes. I really did. And I'm talking the convicts, Catholics versus convicts era, and all the bling and the starter jackets. Yeah, I was all about it, man. It kind of goes back to that dreary Rudy thing. Of the weather and being from the Midwest, and I wanted to be down in South Beach, man. I had multiple Miami Hurricane starter jackets, and obviously now I can't stand them.
I can't see you. A bright orange Miami Hurricane starter jacket?
I didn't have the bright orange. It was one was black and one was green.
Next.
I mean, I was really cool.
Yeah, I bet you were.
Hey, I've been waiting for Ryan Willis to throw a touchdown pass for a while so I could use that's what I'm talking about, Willis,
yep,
which is a good times reference. Speaking of Miami, they used to use that for Willis McGahee. I don't want people to think that I'm came up with that originally. But it got me to thinking, are there any other sitcom one-liners you'd like to see me add to the repertoire?
By the way, we were driving Saturday night, did hear that, and I loved it. I was waiting for it, and I'm glad I got to hear it. let me think.
We need somebody named Norm.
Oh, that's true. Give me some time to think about that. That's a good segment right there. But yeah, we could probably concoct a couple 80s because we did pull a little, what you talking about, Willis, last week. I liked it. Let me get some time to think about that. One more for me, Lays. Now your Cubs are gone. What World Series do you most want to see?
Yeah, I like when the best teams are there. So I'd like the Red Sox to be there on the American League side. One, because it'll make my engineer Dave Stipe happy. When he's happy, we tend to have the equipment set up quicker and more efficiently. So I like that. I can't stand the Dodgers just from my Giants ties while I was in Richmond, but I think that would be the most provocative series. I thought they underperformed for the regular season. So I wouldn't mind seeing Red Sox-Dodgers. Although from a pure baseball perspective, I'd love to see the Brewers because I really like watching them play. I think it's an exciting watch, and obviously the city of Milwaukee would be on fire if that were the case. So one of those two representatives out of the NL, but definitely the Red Sox out of the AL.
We'll have a little baseball Saturday night, but we're going to have college football. Coverage begins at 6:30, kickoff just past 8 o'clock. You can hear it right here on Fox Sports 910 with Mr. John Laser and Mike Burnup and Andrew Allegretta. I will see you Saturday in Blacksburg, buddy.
Sounds good. Travel safely.
All right, you got it. It's John Laser, brought to you by Cowan Gates.